Good afternoon. I'd like to thank my co-authors, Marie Gantz, Nabil Alkhorizadeh, and Ayman Elmohandez. Neither I nor any of my co-authors have any relationships to disclose. This project is part of the NIH DC initiative to reduce infant mortality in minority populations, a congressionally mandated project in the District of Columbia. The collaborating institutions were Children's National Medical Center, George Washington University Medical Center, Georgetown University Medical Center, Howard University Hospital, Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development, the National Center on Minority Health and Health Disparities, and RTI International. And we were funded by the National Center on Minority Health and Health Disparities and the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. Mouthful. As background, intimate partner violence, or IPV, has been shown in the literature to be associated with a range of negative health outcomes, including risk of poor physical health, physical disability, psychological distress, mental illness, and heightened recreational and non-recreational substance use. It's also shown that victimization from partners increased the likelihood that women would experience symptoms of depression. And depression and intimate partner violence have a combined cumulative effect on adverse pregnancy outcomes, such as low birth weight and preterm birth. We hypothesized that women who experienced IPV would be more depressed than women with no IPV, that women who experienced both sexual and physical IPV would be more depressed than women who did not experience IPV, and that women exposed to IPV and depressed would have a greater risk of adverse pregnancy outcomes than those who were only depressed, only exposed to IPV, or not depressed and not exposed to IPV. Data were collected as part of a randomized controlled trial called Healthy Outcomes Through Pregnancy Education, or HOPE, designed to address behavioral and psychosocial risks during pregnancy, including cigarette smoking, environmental tobacco smoke exposure, depression, and intimate partner violence. The eligible participants were African-American and Latina women, at least 18 years of age, and receiving prenatal care at one of six participating clinics between 2001 and 2003. The women had to be enrolled by 28 weeks gestation, English speaking, and reporting more than one risk factor on screening. Now, this figure is just to give you a sense of how the risks were distributed. 198 women were actively smoking cigarettes. 755 were exposed to environmental tobacco smoke exposure. 463 women were depressed, and 464 reported intimate partner violence. And you see, if you look at the figure, that there's a lot of overlap between the risks that we were looking at. The 1,044 women that we're talking about today self-identified as African-American or black, and the women who are Latina are taken out of the analysis because there weren't enough to analyze. And the mean age at enrollment was 25 years. Their mean gestational age at enrollment was 19 weeks. 78% were on Medicaid. More than a third were employed full or part-time, and more than 70% had a high school education or more. Data were collected by telephone interview at baseline and follow-up during the second and third trimesters and at an average of 9 weeks postpartum. We used generalized linear models and odds ratios to evaluate the differences across the groups. Our measures. We used the conflict tactics scale to confirm IPV, and the time frame was the previous year. Depression was evaluated using the Hopkins symptoms checklist. And low birth weight was defined as less than 2,500 grams. Very low birth weight is less than 1,500 grams. Preterm birth is less than 37 completed weeks gestation. And very preterm birth is less than 33 weeks gestation. The women acknowledging IPV, 11% defined themselves as victims, 28% as perpetrators, and 61% as both. Among the victims of IPV, 12% were sexually abused, 55% were physically abused, 33% were both sexually and physically abused, and we didn't ask women about any other types of abuse. This slide shows IPV victim status by depression. This doesn't include women who identify themselves only as perpetrators. The two important messages from this slide are that there's a significant association between IPV and depression, IPV victimization and depression, with a p-value of less than 0.001, and that women reporting both physical and sexual IPV have a very high rate of depression, 71.4%, compared to those reporting only physical or only sexual IPV or no IPV. This slide shows the relationship between IPV status and depression. The odds of being depressed if a woman were an IPV victim was 2.8, if a woman were a perpetrator was 2.7, and if a woman were both an IPV victim and perpetrator was 3.1. And as you can see from the confidence intervals, all of these are significant. We now turn to pregnancy outcomes by IPV and depression status at baseline. This includes only those women who self-identified as a victim or as a victim and perpetrator. When comparing pregnancy outcomes for women with IPV compared to women without IPV, or for women with depression compared to women with no depression, women exposed to IVP or with depression had consistently higher rates of poor pregnancy outcomes. However, none of these were significant, and we believe this lack of significance is due to our small numbers. We now look at pregnancy outcomes by IPV victimization and depression status at baseline with IPV in more detail. Women with a combination, if you look at the top half of the slide, women with a combination of sexual and physical IPV and depression had higher rates of very low birth weight and very preterm birth as compared to depressed women with physical IPV or sexual IPV or no IPV. Women with a combination of physical IPV and depression had higher rates of low birth weight and preterm birth when compared to depressed women with sexual and physical IPV, sexual IPV, or not an IPV victim. When comparing women who were not exposed to IPV, if they were depressed, they had higher rates of low birth weight, very low birth weight, preterm birth, and very preterm birth compared to women who were not depressed. None of these results were significant due to small numbers. They do, however, present a clear picture of the cumulative impact of depression and IPV on pregnancy outcomes. Had the study been powered for these analyses and had the sample size been larger or a more refined group of people, we believe we would have had significant results. Our conclusions. Pregnant women should be screened for IPV and should receive services to address these needs. In our study, IPV was significantly associated with depression. Higher rates of depression were found among women who reported a combination of both sexual and physical IPV, or both victimization and perpetration of violence, compared to only one. Screening only for victimization limits the ability of the healthcare system to reach out to a significant proportion of women implicated in IPV who may benefit from mental health interventions. Exposure to IPV and being depressed is a risky combination with respect to adverse pregnancy outcomes. And I'd like to give a special thanks to our co-funders at the Center for Minority Health and Health Disparities, I don't know where it is, our many collaborators and the participants who welcomed us into their lives in hopes of helping themselves and their children. Thank you. It's a screening tool. Well, we actually know if we refine the denominator down a little bit, this was using the entire population, we do know that we do end up with some significant results.
But it almost seems like it could do some sort of like simulations, you know, like take a sample of people from there, you know, restrict with your denominator and do like maybe thousands of them and see how many of the trials you get significant findings that would be worth reporting, because I think it's a very, very important finding that, you know, these women need to be screened for depression. And given the, you know, likelihood of depression to postpartum depression and, you know, and the serious consequences of that, I think it's a very, very important conclusion that needs to get out there. And
we're working on getting results out.
Yeah. So some sort of simulation, if it, you know, would definitely work.
We will discuss it with my statistician who's sitting over there. Yes, I did see your face.
Yeah, and so I was wondering about whether that's believable or not, or what does the concept of being a perpetrator, like,
When I think women are being perpetrators, I think they're doing a little preemptive behavior of their own. I mean, we have women who did things like throw TVs at partners.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's, you know, I think that they're, it's very hard to sort of tease out with what we have, but I do think that they're just being preemptive.
I was wondering where you might be headed with this.
Yeah, they're all pregnant. They're all pregnant.
Maybe.